I've got a gold nugget I think would help someone today. I found it in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Peter told his readers, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Peter is telling the readers to not think that this was a strange thing, because we find that there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Everyone goes through these fiery trials. It's not a strange event that only happens to you and to your family. These things that happen to you are such as is common to man. But we do have His promise. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. God is faithful. He will provide a way that you may be able to bear these fiery trials. He provided a way for the Hebrew boys when they were going through the fiery trials. I would say to you, be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. God is aware of what you're going through. He wrote to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, telling them, I know your fiery trials. I know about the false prophets. I know about the evil men. I know about the false apostles. I know about Jezebel. I know about the Nicolaitans. But these are things that you can overcome. And to him that overcomes will be allowed to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So I hope that you take courage. Our lessons for the last few days have been from the book of Revelation. I've not tried to interpret these writings. I have only tried to help in the application. You don't have to take anybody else's word. You can read them for yourself. So now, scoot up your chair. I'm going to be speaking from the fifth verse of chapter 2 of the book of Revelation. The writer says, "Remember from where you have fallen, and repent and do the first work, or else I will come to you quickly and will remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent." Now let us go back to those first words of this verse. He says, "Remember, remember from where you have fallen." The Ephesian church had fallen. It was a grievous fall, and great was that fall. That which they had left had lifted them in the divine love, had made them precious in His sight, had caused them to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, caused them to be more than a conqueror, had caused them to be a royal priesthood and a holy nation. They had fallen from this highly favored place. The Bible tells us that Mary was a lady that was highly favored. To be highly favored is to be in an exalted place. An exalted place. A place in which we are able to be called the sons of God, a royal nation, and a holy people. That indeed is a highly favored place. The church here in Ephesus had fallen from there. Paul told the Galatians that Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. You are fallen from favor. What an indictment. Christ is become of no effect unto you. In other words, your love for Christ is no longer has an effect in your life. Your work and your labor comes not from the effect that Christ has on you. It comes from the importance that you have put upon your works. May we never fall to the low position where Christ no longer has an effect on us. May we never get to a place that when we sing of the old rugged cross where our blessed Savior bled and died, that it never has an effect on us, that it never moves us to tears, never moves us to be grateful and praising His name for it. You're no longer highly favored. You fell from this exalted position that God has given to mortal men. The writer says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. It appears to me that the Galatians had left the grace of God into another gospel. Could it have been the gospel of works? Paul said, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Christ Jesus has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Tell me this. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. The Bible is telling us that if we are depending on our works, then we are not depending on grace. If we expect a reward for our works, it is not of grace. It's a debt being paid you. Are you working for God in order to have Him indebted to you? And that when you receive your reward, can you boast that I deserve this because I have worked for Him? If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to glory, but not before God. If Abraham had been justified by what he did, he could have boasted about it. He could have said, look what I have done. I offered my only begotten Son. Now God is repaying me. He could have bragged about it to men. God would not have accepted this. He could not have bragged to God about this. Jesus talked about the braggers. He said, many shall say in that day, we have prophesied. We have cast out devils. Not only that, we have done many mighty works in your name. The reply to this will be, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. For I have never known you. This practice of Christians leaving their first love is so common that it is almost expected that there would be less passion when the first novelty of discipleship have passed. But this need not be the case in your life. But you will always know when you have to drag yourself to duty, when prayer and worship and work for Christ are turned into drudgery, when there is no longer any glow or fervor about your work for Christ, when temptations once you often resisted, but now you entertain them, all of these and other things like them are symptoms that surely you have left your first love, that you have lost the vision. But you don't have to. Get back in the book and let the vision be renewed in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit. Let the Holy Spirit do a work in your life that you may become, as Jesus described John, a burning and shining light. This is what Christ needs. He needs burning and shining lights in a world that's filled with darkness, with sin, with temptations, with tribulations, with hurting and death on every hand. God is looking for burning and shining lights as a city set on a hill which cannot be hid, as a candle set on a candlestick to give light to all that is in the room. In order for this Ephesian church to get back to that exalted and lofty position of heavenly places in Christ Jesus, his command is to repent or else.